We are joined now on the air by Brian Link and Sally Merriman. Brian is a civics teacher at East Chapel Hill High School. Sally is a Spanish teacher at Smith Middle School. Both of them vice president and president, respectively, of the Chapel Hill Carborough Association of Educators. I hope I got all that right. Brian and Sally, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks to be here.
You're welcome.
So tell us about the rally tomorrow. What is it exactly going to entail? How is it going to go down?
Oh, wow. There's a lot planned. We'll be starting around 10 o'clock in the morning at the NCAE building in downtown Raleigh, and we'll be walking up to the legislative building. We've gotten permission recently, I believe, to march along Fayetteville Street, which we did not originally have. Mm-hmm. And we're expected to be up at the legislative building before noon, and hopefully into the building and having the galleries filled for the beginning of the noon session mm-hmm. of the House and Senate. So that's the initial plan for that period of time. And then in the afternoon, they've set up spots outside the legislative building where legislators can come outside and meet with us. And so each county has its own specified location mm-hmm. of where we should be to expect our legislators to come meet with us. And some people will push in and see their legislators inside the building.
Okay, so do we have a rough idea of how many teachers are going to be there and how many from, say, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools?
Well, as you were reporting earlier, the latest estimates from May16th.org are about 15,000 mm-hmm. teachers, and it's important to note, it won't just be teachers. Just like
we saw
in Arizona and Colorado, in West Virginia and Kentucky, there'll be students and parents, other professionals out joining, so I'm sure the crowd will be a lot larger. So if you're interested in going out, we would encourage folks to get there early. And then in terms of our district, we've gotten a lot of support. We have a whole bunch of people who are excited. So I would say, you know, certainly I think it's easily to say triple digits and probably a couple hundred teachers will be out there, mm-hmm. rain or shine, tomorrow in support of public education and our students.
Yeah, we were in triple digits before school was canceled for the day.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we're well into that.
So,
sure.
So what is the rally and what is the march and what are the meetings with the legislators for? I know that we talked about this before we started a couple of minutes ago, that there are some people who haven't quite gotten the full message of what this is actually intended to do. So what are the goals of the march?
Well, I think they're twofold. One mm-hmm. is to draw attention to a situation that is playing out across the country. And so anytime that you have an advocacy day or an action day like this, it's to make sure that things that otherwise would be in the back page of a newspaper or a little blurb on the radio get that headline. And you can't do that without drawing people's attention to it. So the first thing is, right, this is a protest. And it's a protest about the systematic underfunding of public education when we could choose to do otherwise. So in terms of those goals, you know, these are important things to understand. Teachers are out there because, for example, textbook funding has been cut by 45% when adjusted for inflation over the last 10 years. School supplies have been cut by 55%. Technology-related items, as we try to go more and more and have those 21st century skills, have been cut by 59%. So when folks are out there saying, oh yeah, this is just teachers who get time off in the summer, which we would note is unpaid, that we're not there just advocating for ourselves, but we're advocating for our students to get the resources they need to be successful in the future.
A big concern of ours, too, is that there are, I think, a lot of folks in Chapel Hill, Carborough, are not totally aware of the different things within our schools that local money pays for.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel Hill schools are very, very fortunate to have a full-time nurse in every building, and that is by far not the case in most other districts in the state. And we're also looking at high counselor-to-student ratios. We're looking at high social worker to student ratios, things that are definitely we're going to require more funding and that should not be on the backs of local districts to fund, because all students deserve these things, not just in the areas where the local money can cover it.
We're speaking with Sally Merriman and Brian Link, both teachers in the Chapel Hill Carver City School District, both going to be in attendance at the Day of Advocacy tomorrow. Brian, you mentioned a couple of sort of statistics, 59% cuts to technology and things like that. How does that manifest itself in the classroom? What is, and I know Chapel Hill Carver is, as you mentioned, because of the local funding, it's in a much better place than a lot of other districts around the state, but we've got pressures here in Chapel Hill Carver too. So how does that manifest itself for you and for students day to day?
We'll give you a couple of examples. The push for end-of-year testing is to do it all digitally, online. And even in a district as fortunate as our own, we don't have the resources to be one-to-one on computers. And what that means is when kids are stressed out and worried about how they're going to perform on end-of-the-year exams, when you don't have access points or Wi-Fi that is going to be strong enough to be able to run computers throughout the building, when you could literally be sitting in the middle of something that's going to make or break whether or not you pass for the year and a computer fails, that is the reality of what we're talking about in terms of a lack of funding. We could go on and on with examples. I just had one from class today. We were talking about the security of our financial system and how the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, backs up money that's deposited in banks. My students who had done their reading, and I'm thrilled with them, were saying, oh yeah, it insures up to $100,000. And I had to say, well, your textbook, which was written more than 15 years ago, is actually incorrect. The new amount after the financial recession is $250,000. So these are the things that we're facing in terms of outdated materials, lack of access to top-notch quality labs, to cutting-edge research. And those are things that are going to, you know, harm our kids not only today, but down the line.
Sally?
I teach a world language, and it has been about 12 or 13 years since we last adopted a textbook. And there has not been money in our district's available funds to be able to provide a textbook for all world language students in French, Latin, Spanish, and also Japanese and Mandarin. And so our teachers have been burdened somewhat by having to look for all of our resources, and that's what we spend a lot of our time doing. And there's other things that we can be doing with that time if we had one resource that we could use as a real foundation resource and then branch out from there. So that's just another example in terms of my curriculum, how that affects us.
That's a really good point, too, because I know, and I've emphasized it on this show, and we've talked to people about it, the extent to which teachers are kind of digging into their own pocketbooks to pay out of their own pocket for needed school supplies and having to take second jobs and things like that to make money to make ends meet. But it's not just money, it's time. It's the amount of time that goes into finding resources and finding supplies and things like that when they should be provided.
Correct.
Yeah. So speaking again with Sally Merriman and Brian Link, so let's talk about the support from the community and the support that we already have gotten, I think, from the community to cover food for students that would otherwise get free and reduced lunch. I know the district came together with local organizations to really put in the effort to make that happen. You mentioned AP testing happening tomorrow as well, and that's still going forward for students who need it. What's happening behind the scenes to support all of those, the students and the community members and other people who might otherwise be kind of negatively affected by school not being in session for the day?
I know that a lot of our local churches had really been looking at what they would do if Chapel Hill Carver were to cancel. Durham had canceled just the day before us. And so the North Carolina Council of Churches and the different congregations involved with the North Carolina Council of Churches had been working together to try and compensate for what was going on in Durham. And my understanding from a meeting that I went to last week with folks from the churches and folks from the districts all together, that Durham has 22,000 students on free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. We have 3,000. And so we were fortunate in Chapel Hill that we had some, the district was able to make sure that there were meals available for the kids at various school locations. But also, as far as I know, some of the community centers have also opened up so that students will have somewhere to go on that day.
And I think that's a really important point. It's that, you know, especially for our younger students, making sure that students are safe and secure. So whether it's going to be folks who need to come to school to get meals, that they'll be safe and secure in their buildings, but also that there are going to be daycare and activities planned so that the many individuals who would love to support us but have their own jobs to go to, mm-hmm. which we perfectly understand, that they'll be able to do that. And I just want to take a moment first to say a huge thank you to our school board that made the courageous decision to create an optional teacher workday, but to also to support all of the other personnel that help run schools. So our classified employees will be able to come in and do a professional development training so they won't lose a paycheck, right? Our bus drivers are going to be able to have some of the same things so that they're going to be able to get paid. And I want to give a huge thank you to our fellow teachers. So just again, to understand, right, this isn't just some folks saying, I want to have a temper tantrum and walk out. We have people in the building tomorrow who will be giving the AP exam either as administrators or proctors, some who would like to be marching, but have given up their time and saying, this is the best way we can help the cause so that our kids, right, aren't going to have to take an exam on a makeup day at potentially a different location, that they want to make sure that what students are going to need to be successful for their college admissions next year, because it's the largest exam of the entire AP schedule, AP language tomorrow, that the kids are going to be able to be in an environment that they're comfortable with people who are professionals who know how to run the test and to be able to execute it efficiently. So it's been really great to see the community support. And again, thank you to all those who've contributed. And thank you, by the way, to our county commissioners who have routinely voted to fund our schools at a much higher level than perhaps surrounding counties.
There's so many people just coming together to demonstrate what it looks like when a community comes together to support the public schools. I think it's terrific.
Oh yeah, it's been really nice to see the community just mm-hmm. pull together for the kids and just make sure that they're all fed and that they're safe. But it also makes you really think back and think about, okay, so this is what's happening and this is how our community is supporting the kids tomorrow. But there are other days when school gets canceled unexpectedly, and there are times when families are still stuck in a situation where kids might not get well-rounded meals for the day. So mm-hmm. it's very eye-opening to be talking to other folks that really have seen the effects of that.
Yeah.
And it's all the more important that what tomorrow is not just a one day of action, right? It's a starting conversation about what is needed to make sure that kids aren't left behind just for one day, but they aren't left behind for years and for decades by getting the proper funding to our public schools.
Yeah, and that leads into the next question, which is next steps. Tomorrow is going to be a significant event in Raleigh. What happens the next day? What are the next steps beyond this?
Well, we're hoping that with all the excitement that's happening tomorrow, mm. I mean, there are people are motivated, they're energized, and they're incredibly well organized. Mm. And we're looking to capture that momentum and help it carry through to the elections in November. This is a really important election for our state. It is the first time in a really long time where everybody in the House and Senate is running for election or re-election, and all of them have an opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's coming up. And I know there's been walkouts and demonstrations like this at states across the country, and they have been very successful. So this is not just a North Carolina thing either. It really is a national movement, which also underscores just what a significant issue this is nationwide.
And I think it's really important for the listeners out there to understand, look at the states where this is occurring, right? West Virginia, mm. Oklahoma, Kentucky, Arizona, Colorado, North Carolina, right? This isn't some, you know, as we live in a very fortunate community, Chapel Hill, this isn't some blue bubble left, mm-hmm. right? I think as we were referred to by one state legislature, teacher union thugs, right? These are individuals, many of whom have never participated in an event like this before, who are coming together regardless of what their politics are, right? And to say what really matters is our future and our kids. And what has to happen is this, you know, this concerted effort across the country to roll back and cut public education, to fund alternative sources like private schools and charter schools, needs to stop. And what we need to do is to make sure that every kid has a chance to get a well-rounded public education, which is something that is guaranteed in the North Carolina Constitution.
I also appreciate that a lot of charter school teachers are also participating in this as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we thank them for their support, and we stand ready to march with them together in solidarity.
So as we're wrapping up, logistical details that people ought to know about tomorrow, anything else that people ought to know about the march, the rally, the issue, how can people be supportive of tomorrow's event or teachers in general down the road?
Even if folks cannot join us in Raleigh, we are asking folks to wear red tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to have anything special on it, but the color red is red for Ed, and it's always on a Wednesday that we wear red at school. And so we're asking that community supporters who cannot join us wear red just to commemorate the day and to just keep us in the forefront of their minds during the day.
And hopefully spark conversation, and that leads to other actions that can take not only tomorrow, but in the future. So donating to organizations like the Public School Foundation, and I want to give you a shout out, Aaron. You did a great job the other weekend in Southern Village helping to raise funds for that. But that's so you can give your money. You can email and contact, or preferably write or handwritten letter to legislatures of both political parties saying this is not a left-right issue, this is a kids issue, to provide. You know, the AP just reported there's $357 million of additional funds, which North Carolina wasn't expecting, to use that to fund public education and to go out and support teachers, whether it's a nice thank you in the classroom or it's joining us out in Raleigh. And if you do go, come early and bring a poncho, right?
Yeah.
Because we'll be out there all day. But if you can't get down there in the first place or you're too wet to stay out there, we'll miss out the much-needed support.
And one more time, where and when tomorrow morning?
The march starts sharp at 10 o'clock in the morning at the NCAE building in downtown Raleigh.
All right.
And that's across, and we'll be marching to the legislature building in on Jones Street across from the Department of Public Education. If you're interested in Orange County legislators, we'll be meeting on Halifax Mall at 2 p.m., and there'll be a closing rally again out in front of the legislature building on Jones Street at about 4 o'clock. So regardless, even if you can make it for half a day or come after work if you work early in the morning or if you work later in the day and come early and then have to go to your radio show, for example, you can come and do that as well.
And if there's a website that people want to go to for more information?
Probably the first place that they can go is www.ncae.org, mm-hmm. and also to May16th.org.
Is that mm-hmm. the number 16?
May16.org.
May16.org.
And if you're a Twitter user, hashtag May16th or Red for Ed, both of those will get you the information that you need.
Here, tomorrow morning at 10, Brian Link, Sally Merriman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.